Only day we have left for pure family celebration without the commercialization of gifts and what have you. And so, even though it's built around eating, you know, eating is very important for us in the kingdom of God because it's an indication of our union, our fellowship, not only with one another, but with the Lord. The elders of Israel ate in the presence of the Lord. And that's very significant. The other thing that's significant, the day after Thanksgiving, here comes the blaring Christmas music, and the first thing I heard was Rudolph. Not what I was looking for. But remember, every mall, every supermarket is going to be used as an instrument of praise to Jehovah God in the next few weeks. Because Silent Night is not reserved for the church, and Joy to the World might be heard in Walmart. And so it's a wonderful time for the proclamation of the gospel in music and song, and we give God praise for that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, thank you for the privilege we have of gathering in your name. Lord, and we do so today with deep gratitude for your grace to us, Lord Jesus, for your loving kindness. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your word. We thank you for one another. And we ask that you will life us by your presence, by your Spirit. According to your word, let your word be fulfilled in our lives. And we give you praise, Father, in Jesus' wonderful name. Hallelujah. Brother David's been drawing our attention repeatedly in the past few weeks to the inner person, the inner life, which really is the fountainhead of all reality. The scripture says, a man's spirit will sustain him in the day of adversity, but a broken spirit, who can bear? And we want to look again in that area today. Remember, it's so easy for us to get enamored with a clay pot or disturbed by its ill performance. And we forget that our focus, first and last, should be on the treasure we have in this clay pot, not on the clay pot. And how easy it is for us to get sidetracked and evaluate the effect of the grace of God and the power of his love by the performance of the outer man that doesn't have the capacity to express the dimension of his love and grace and glory, because God chose to conceal it. It's hidden. It's a treasure inside your earthen vessel, that the excellency of the glory may be of him and unto him and not of ourselves. And so if you're on a quest to be religiously superior from the rest of us, you're in trouble, because you're going to fall over your own feet. Well, let's get to the word. I'm going to read some from the Amplified Version this morning, beginning in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We want to spend the most of our time in Ephesians chapter 3, but let's work our way in that direction. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 at verse 6. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts so as to beam forth the light for the illumination of the knowledge of the majesty and glory of God as it is manifest in the person and is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ the Messiah. Pretty big order to start with, isn't it? the light for the illumination of the knowledge of the majesty and the glory. Do you think you'll ever plumb the depth of those three words in your lifetime? And so we're going to live in a wonder world, in a sense. We're going to, let me say it this way. We have the privilege of experiencing what we can't understand and explain. It's like the old Scottish proverb, it's better felt than telt. You will never put into words, you will never by your understanding engage the circumference of the glory, the knowledge, the majesty of God. The amazing thing that comprehends, that or that we cannot comprehend, is how God is able to put that treasure inside the like of us. Now that's a miracle. That's a mystery. A mystery that's revealed through the gospel, but is never fully comprehended. And we'll see that here in just a few moments. This is verse 7. However, we possess this precious treasure, the divine light of the gospel, in frail human vessels of earth. See, there's a difference in clay pots. We've all seen ornamental pottery with beautiful painting on it, and it's glazed, and it's a wonder to behold. It's beautiful. But how many of you have been to Tijuana and seen the rows and rows of ordinary earthy pots along with the people promoting the sale of them? Just ordinary red earthenware, without the glaze, without the artwork, just plain stuff. That's what you are, and that's what I am. Now, don't get enamored with the clay pot, neither be disturbed by its frailty. See, we're so prone to look at the outward man, when all the time the scripture says, while we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. You will never comprehend in this life the full measure of the effect of grace, of the grace of God and the power of his love that is hidden in your inner person. You will experience the overflow of that dynamic that will be registered in your mere earth life, yes. But comprehend it, you don't have the capacity in your humanity for that to happen. We possess this precious treasure, the divine light of the gospel, in frail human vessels of earth, that the grandeur and exceeding greatness of the power may be shown to be of God and not from ourselves. Isn't that wonderful? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let me go on here. Let me drop down to verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 4. For our light momentary affliction, this slight distress of the passing hour, is ever more and more abundantly preparing and producing and achieving for us an everlasting weight of glory, beyond all measure, excessively surpassing all comparison and all calculation, a vast and transcendent glory and blessedness never to cease. Since we consider and look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are not seen, or that are unseen, for the things that are visible are temporal. You know, I need to get me a reading light here. That are invisible are deathless and everlasting. Let me read that verse again. Since we consider and look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, for the things that are visible are temporal, brief, and fleeting, but the things that are invisible are deathless and everlasting. Hallelujah. Then chapter 5 goes on to say, for we know that if the tent, which is our earthly house, is destroyed, dissolved, we have from God a building, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Paul continues in this vein, and he says that God has prepared you for the corruptible to be swallowed up by the incorruptible. Hallelujah. And in case you wonder how that's going to happen, it's not going to be by the persuasion of your vocabulary or the determination of your will. It's going to take place by the power of God. And if that's the one who's in charge, relax. Stumble over your feet all that you want to. But remember, if you keep your eye on the treasure, that treasure will punch holes through your clay pot and reveal the exceeding glory of Him who works out all things perfectly according to His eternal will and purpose. That's the alchemy of the ages. That is the great process of turning the base into the precious. You know, that used to be a search at one time among the scientific world of previous centuries to look for the miracle that would turn iron into gold. Of course, there is no such thing existing. But there is a greater miracle, that God can take rebels like we are, far from Him, pour His grace into our life, and then show the wonders of His grace and His redemption, His power to save through the like of us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let me go on here to Ephesians chapter 3. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians 3, verse 7. Of this gospel I was made a minister according to the gift of God's free grace, undeserved favor, which was bestowed on me by the exercise, the working in all its effectiveness of His power. See, Paul doesn't claim one little smidgen of his ability, his education, his pedigree as being necessary to showing forth the glory of the grace of God. It's all achieved by His love, by His mercy, by His grace, and by His immeasurable power. You don't need to be the victim of the torments of the evil one, not even of the frailty of your own flesh. If you're going to fall on your knees praying. If you're going to run to Jesus. He'll meet you with open arms and do in you and through you what you can't do for yourself by reason of the frailty of your humanity. Verse 8, to me, though I am the very least of all the saints, God's consecrated people, this grace, favor, privilege was granted and graciously entrusted to proclaim to the Gentiles the unending, boundless, fathomless, incalculable, and exhaustless riches of Christ, wealth which as human beings could have, wealth which no human being could have searched out. And yet God imparted that to every one of us and tucked it in our clay pot and then sealed it up so you wouldn't get the big head. You're going to be walking in humility all of the days of your earth journey. Keep your eye on the invisible. Keep your focus on the treasure. The pot will make it along the way. It'll get carried along by the exceeding greatness of his love and grace and power that God expresses to each one of us. What a wonder. How precious. How priceless. How incalculable. How unexplainable is the grace of God. Let me read on. Let me drop down to verse 12. In whom, because of our faith in him, we dare to have the boldness, courage, and confidence of free access, an unreserved approach to God with freedom and without fear. How many of us are constantly living in that territory? You know, I think of some of the patriarchs, in spite of their failings and shortfall and what you have, whatnot. But Abraham has the freedom of confidence in his relationship with God that he can bargain with God over Sodom and Gomorrah. That's got a little chutzpah, or how did the Jews say it? Was that close, Fred? Something like that. I mean, anyway, it means cheek. It means being brash. But just think of it, that Abraham had that kind of a conversation with God. And I wonder how open we are. How comfortable are we in our relationship with God? How settled that we can communicate our heart's desire in that intensity? Let me read on. Thank you, Lord. So I ask you not to lose heart, not to faint or become despondent through fear at what I am suffering in your behalf. Rather, glory in it, for it is an honor to you. For this reason, seeing the greatness of this plan by which you are built together in Christ, I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that Father from whom all fatherhood takes its title and derives its name. May he grant you, out of the rich treasury of his glory. You got any rulers that can measure that? Any fine instrument of accurate calculation that can plumb that and give you the dimension of it? May he grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory. Now here again, God's not putting the glaze on the clay pot. He's happy with its earthiness. See, even Jesus was mistaken for a glutton and winebibber. The Lord of glory concealed himself in the earthiness of the Son of God. To be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power, not to the clay pot, but in the inner man, by the Holy Spirit himself, indwelling your innermost being and personality. That's where your joy rests. That's where your peace is founded. That's where your contentment lies. That's where your ability to overcome comes from. To be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself, indwelling your innermost being and personality. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love and founded securely on love. Where are your roots? What are you founded on? You know, a lot of people are rooted in bitterness and forgiveness, judgment, criticism. Now, what does this scripture mean? It's not at all being overpowered by the frailty of the flesh, but it's a concentrated focus on the inner man of the heart. Where does this measure of love come from? Being rooted and grounded, excuse me, in the love of God. Verse 18, that you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God devoted people, the experience of that love. What is the breadth and length and height and depth of it? That you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God. Anybody want to explain that one? And yet the Lord says that he wants us to lay hold of, not just to comprehend mentally, but to lay hold of experientially the breadth and depth and height of his love, the multidimensional, multifaceted aspects of his love. And how does it happen? By the working of his power. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And it's not going to be put in terms of human vocabulary. But in the depths of your deepest being, you will experience the love of God. That you will know experientially more than any information or knowledge could excite in you. Focus on the treasure. The clay pot will follow suit. Thank you, Lord. Let me read that verse again. Verse 19, that you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God. That is, may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. Is that what you expected when you got started on this program? Don't ask me to attempt vocabulary here because I don't have it. What it means to be filled with the fullness of God. How could the divine treasure fit inside a little box with all the limitations that we have? See, it's only the miracle of His grace that can achieve that. It's only the power of His cross and resurrection that can make that happen. That's God's will for you. To be filled to the full with God. Now, if we're filled to the full with something, there's probably not much room for anything else. And so if you're filled to the full with God, you don't need to be too concerned about fears and shame and rejection and anger and bitterness and what have you, because they all get crowded out by the glory of His inexhaustible, eternal, unchanging glory that He put inside your clay pot. Thank you, Father. Now to Him who, by in consequence of the action of His power that is at work within us, is able to carry out His purpose and do superabundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. I think that pretty well covers the bases, doesn't it? According to His power that is at work within us. Above all you can ask or think or dare dream about, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. So be it. I think I'll quit right there. I was going to go on, but that's enough. Thank you, Father. While we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. You know, at one time I had a full head of hair. It was a little bit wavy, multicolored, because parts of it, you know, as a kid I was a sheep head, flaxen, really blonde. But then by the time I hit my teens, something happened to the dyes up in my scalp, and the hair became a little darker, and then soon other little factors came in that changed that color dramatically. Now I don't have much of either. I have no color and not all that much hair. But does it matter? So this temporal is changing moment by moment. But if we look not at the things that are seen, and don't try to explain the treasure in your heart, just appreciate it. Just thank God every day and say, Lord, work your word in me. Let it be unto me according to your word. And you find little by little a change taking place as the treasure takes over the function of your life and uses your clay pot as a servant for His honor and for His glory, an instrument through which He can show forth His glory in a broken world. Thank you, Father. Seal your word to our hearts. Cause us to be doers of your word and not hearers only. And we give you glory. We bless you, Lord. We bless you. We bless you. We bring honor and glory to you, Lord. We exalt and hallow your name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Wash us. Forgive us. Heal us. Cause us to know what is not knowable by our human faculties. Cause us to be transmitters of your glory in this earth. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Holy, holy Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. Blessing, honor, glory, majesty belong unto him. Buried in your clay pot. Thank you, Father.
It's a beautiful word this morning. What a wonderful blessing it is to be able to see our life through God's eyes and his perspective, what he looks at when he looks at us. Lord, just heal us, how we see things. Anoint our eyes, that spiritual sight, that every day, all day, we can behold